Here at the top, Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, we're still dealing with the question of what was the shape of the Lechem HaPanim. We saw an argument between Rav Chanina and Rav Yochanan. Rav Chanina said that the shape of the Lechem HaPanim, that's okay, was like a box that was cut and then the sides taken off. So what you have was sort of like a U, bottom and two sides. And then the opinion of Rav Yochanan is that the shape of the Lechem HaPanim was like some type of a skipper boat, like a V. It's like a boat that moves quickly on the waves, and so really it looks like a V. So now the Gemara says, we're on the top of Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. Meisvel, challenge you, we learned a braisa discussing the molds. We said yesterday that there were three times that the dough would be put into a mold, into a certain shaped pan. When it was dough, it would be put into this shaped pan. Then it would put into another shaped pan in the another such pan in the oven. And then when it comes out of the oven, again it's put into a pan like that so that it maintains its shape. So here it says, oh, we'll see. There'll be a discussion about that. So says the Gemara, this in the Braisa, Kimin, Kaveres Hayala Betanur. It was sort of the pan, the specially shaped pan that there was for the dough, for the bread, was like a kaveres. A kaveres is a beehive. Now, there are a lot of holes in the pan. V'domek min tavla merubas. And what was its shape? Like a squared box. So that seems to be a proof that the shape of the Lechem HaPanim is not a skipper boat, but a U. It's like a box. So isn't that a problem with the view of Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's like a skipper boat? And it's the Gemara, you have to change the braisa. Upiya doma kimin tavla merubas. There was a pan, and the top of the pan was like a squared box. In other words, the bottom was, you know, a V, but the top was like a box. So that there was a difference between them. Tanya, now, says the Gemara, now we have a braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya, you have a braisa commandam akmin svina roketis, who says it was like a V, who says it was like a boat. The Tanya, because we went in a braisa. Our bus, nifin shel zav hayusham, there were four, little things of gold. Mefutzalin me roshehem kimin dakranin hayu. And they were separated at their tops like these little, thorns, little branches. Shesomchen b'henes halechem. And with that, they would support the bread. And now what does the bread look like? Shehudom ekmen svina dolekes. And the bread looks like a boat that's very fast, a boat that's rushing over the waves. So that's explicit that the bread is like a V, like a boat. Okay.
Is that a process, Nathan? That's like a grape they put it on? Is that they're saying? They put it on a grape?
I don't think so. The way I understood the sneefen was that these are things to make the edges. That at the edges of the loaf, there were like four corners, like on the mizbeach, you had four kranos.
On top of these things,
no, these metal pieces of gold were there to cause the dough to stick up and to be a corner. That's the way I understood it. Maybe how did they translate it?
No, I was just curious. They translate as props. I just didn't know what.
What does the art scroll say? They say there were four golden
props of gold there.
I think it's the four golden pieces to make out of the corners of the bread, sort of very distinct corners. But nevertheless, beneath that, it was a V. I think that's what the braisa is saying.
So the shape of it is rectangular.
It's an argument. Mm-hmm.
The argument.
That's what
if
you're
talking
saying
about four corners, now it's rectangular.
The top can have top corners, but the bottom could be slanted.
It wasn't rectangular, and then they folded it like that.
Mm-hmm. There are different opinions here. We're saying that this is the argument between Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan. Chanina says it was like a box, like this.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan says at the bottom it was like this. But what I think this price is saying is that there were four corners over here made by golden pieces that would push up the dough to make them into corners when they were baked in the oven.
Don't we have eyewitnesses to tell us what it was?
No, oh, I don't think so. These are Amorim. They're living, you know, in the year 350 or so. Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 70. So Rabbi Yochanan is living 280 years after the Beis Hamikdash. I don't think he had any eyewitnesses anymore. Apparently he didn't have pictures. Yeah. So this is, you know, I guess sort of a broader question. There is a group in Israel, they call themselves Machon HaMikdash, the Temple Institute, and they are trying to make the vessels of the temple, and they're trying to, like, they built a beautiful menorah. As you go down to the Kotel, you'll see this golden menorah, and they have a mizbeach. So I guess
preparation, or just for
so yeah, so they're saying preparing that they would like it to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, right? But I think, you know, one of the big problems is that we see clearly in the Gemara that there were a lot of questions that were not resolved. So like, this is not resolved. So they'll say, well, let's look at the Rambam and let's look at the sources, and if it's totally not resolved, maybe we can resolve it. And there are others who'll say, sort of like what Jason was saying, there must have been eyewitnesses, so maybe these are all questions you're supposed to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, who was an eyewitness, to come and for him to resolve it. But that's a question. Okay, we are now on Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, some more issues about the Lechem HaPanim. Remember that when we have a general rule that Yotze, something which was made holy, as Roger pointed out, if it was put into a vessel, a holy vessel, which it becomes intrinsically holy, once there is a holiness inside of it, it can't exit the Azarat, can't exit the courtyard of the temple. If it leaves the courtyard, it becomes disqualified as Yotze. So think about the Mishkan in the days of the Mishkan when we were in the desert. So you had the Mishkan standing, and when the Mishkan is standing, you have the bread on the lechem, the bread of the lechem upon him on the shulchan. Maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday, the cloud sets off, and Hashem is showing it's time to take apart the Mishkan. So they take apart the Mishkan, they now start transporting it. Does all the lechem become disqualified as Yotze? Because now as it's traveling, maybe it has left the Azara. So that would disqualify it as Yotze, or maybe not. Maybe we'll say that when God says to travel, so that's as if the Mishkan also is traveling along with it. And then it's as if it's still in the Azara. And maybe you don't have the disqualification of Yotze. So that's the question. Yibaylu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Lechem apanim, all these breads, the showbreads, the two stacks of six loaves on each side of the shulchan, nifsal b'masos, does it get disqualified through the Jews traveling? Eino nifsal b'masos, so was it not disqualified when they traveled? So Rashi says, when the Jews would travel in the desert and they take apart the Mishkan, they would carry the bread, and carry the table with the bread on it, as the verse says, v'al shulchan apanim yifusu begetcheles, does this bread become disqualified for now having exited the Azara or not?
But I thought, like we learned, there was no pigle in the desert because there was no we didn't say
that there was no pigle in the desert. We said there was no pigle in Vamos, in private altars. Mm-hmm. But good, this is a good point, right? So again,
Rabbi, we know the architect who designed the Mishkan.
Bezalel.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Do we know the designer who brought up this bread, shape of this?
Hashem. It would have been Hashem. It would have been a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, a tradition. That's what it seems like. It was a question, what this tradition was. So again, anybody who had a question in the yeshiva, lechem apanim, the bread, nifsal b'masos, does it get disqualified when the Jews are traveling? Oh, wait, no, nifsal b'masos, or is it not disqualified? So here again, we have an argument. Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chad amar nifsal, one says it does get disqualified. Chad amar eino nifsal, the other one said it did not get disqualified. Mad amar nifsal, the one who says it gets disqualified, this is because the verse says, kasher yachnu ken yiso, as the Jews will camp, so they will travel. That means that when they're traveling, it's the same halachic status as when they are encamped. So certainly when they are encamped, so then you have the Mishkan, and if lechem apanim are taken out of the Azara, they would become disqualified for having left the Azara. So when it's traveling, it also has the status of camp, and therefore nifsal biyotze, it gets disqualified were it to go out. However, mandam of the other opinion, who says eino nifsal, that when the mishkan is traveling and it's taken apart and they're moving along, and they've covered the table with the 12 breads and they're carrying the table with the 12 breads, it doesn't get disqualified. That's because the verse says the lechem atamid alav yihyeh. And the lechem atamid will be on it. So since it's saying lechem atamid, alav yihyeh, and the bread of constancy, of being constant, shall be on it. In other words, it stays holy. It stays holy constantly. Even when you're moving with it, you're carrying it, it stays holy. Okay, so now what's each one going to do with the other one's pasuk? V'idoch nam yoksiv kasher yachnu ken yisau. So if you're going to say that it does stay kosher and it doesn't get disqualified, either verse says, as they will camp, so they will travel. Doesn't that imply that just as when they are camped, there's an issue of things going out of the Azara, so too when traveling there would be a problem of things going out of Azara? No, he'll say, no, there's a linkage between camp and travel, but the linkage goes in the other direction. Just like when it's encamped and it hasn't left its place. In other words, when the bread hasn't been moved off of the table, it's going to stay kosher. As if the table's in its place and the bread is in its place, it's kosher. So therefore, when traveling, so long as the bread hasn't left the table, lo mifsal, it doesn't become disqualified. So what's the other one going to do with the other pasuk? How could you say that it becomes disqualified once we're traveling and we're carrying the bread with the table? The verse says explicitly, constant bread will be on it. That sounds like the bread always stays holy. Ella, so that's a really good question. So rather we have to change what we've said. When Rav Dimi came from Babel, he said like this. If the stacks of bread are still on the table and the table's being transported with the stacks of bread on them, there is no argument. Everybody agrees it stays kosher. It's not considered having exited its place. But where is there an argument? If the bread was taken off of the table, the one who believes it becomes possible, because the verse says, Kasher yachanu ken yisau, as they will camp, so they will travel. So just like when encamped, there's a disqualification once it leaves. So too when it travels, there's a disqualification once it leaves. And Laman Damar Eino Nifsal, the one who says it doesn't get disqualified, because the verse says, V'nasa Ohel Moed, and the tent of meeting shall travel. That's to say, Afopisha Nasa, even though it's traveling, it's still Ohel Moed Hu. It's still considered a tent of meeting. So even though it's taken off of the table and they're walking with it, since it's in the traveling, Vinasa, it's all considered one big Ohel Moed, and it's still kosher. As they will camp, so they will travel. So that's a hekesh. That's a linkage between the traveling and the camp. Yeah.
So it's like
the shy is
with it.
And yeah.
And it's not in those.
Now, what about the other opinion? Kasher yachnu ken yisau. But doesn't it say, as they will camp, so they will travel? Vidoch gisa. And do it in the other way. So, ma b'chaniyaso, just like when in camp, ki lo mapik le lo mifsal, when you don't remove it, it doesn't get disqualified. So he'll say you do it in the other way. So too, when it's traveling, kilomapically, when you didn't remove it from the machna levia, even though you've removed it from the table, lo mifsal, it doesn't get disqualified. Vidachnami, the other opinion as well, haksivinasa ol moed, but it says that the ol moed shall travel. Doesn't that imply that when you're traveling, there's a status of ol moed to the entire machna levia? When it says, no, that's not what it means to say. That's just to say which order of travel it is. So first the one flag, then the next flag, then the Ohel Moed travels, but not to say it has the status of Ohel Moed. V'idach, and the other opinion, That he knows the order of the Degalim from the other pasuk. The pasuk says that the camp of Levia is in the middle of all the other camps. Okay, so this is the discussion. When the Jewish people are traveling in the desert, and if they were to take the breads off the lechem, off the shulchan, do the breads become pasul as yotzei? Or maybe no. Maybe when they're traveling and they're part of the Machna Levia, the whole Machna Levia is considered the Azara, and the breads do not have a psul of yotzei, even though they are off the table while traveling. Maysville, challenge you, we learned a brisa. The brisa says, B'sha siluk masos, at the time of traveling, when the paroches is rolled up, kadshim nifsalim biyotzei, so now all the sacred items, the karbanos pieces, become disqualified for having left the Azara. Now, even though there's no curtains because they're traveling, so it's the kachmar out of the Azara, that area, though, still has a holiness. The whole Machna Leviya, the whole camp of the Leviim. And therefore, Zavin Mitzorayim Mishtalchen Chutz L'Mechitzasan. If a person was a Zav, he had a discharge of gonorrhea, or a Mitzora, he can't be with the Machna Leviya, he can't be traveling with them, with the Leviim, he has to go to the back of the camp and walk outside of these areas. So here it says explicitly, kachim become disqualified with a psul yotzei. So my lava fiu lechem apanim. So kachim sounds like even the lechem apanim. So that would be a disproof of the opinion that says that when traveling, the lechem apanim did not become disqualified. So when it says lo, that's not the way to read the braisa, bar mi lechem apanim, except for the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim doesn't get disqualified. Based on this pasuk of anasa oel moed, it's still considered oel moed even when it's traveling. Asks the Gemara, 1 second, manavshach, this whole law makes no sense. If you're going to say that it's considered an ohel moed, even though the curtains are rolled up, if you look kachim nami, kachim also shouldn't be disqualified. If you're going to say that it's not considered ohel moed anymore, so if you lechem apanim nami, so then lechem apanim should be disqualified. Ela kiyasa Ravin, so therefore when Ravin came, Amar said the following. The Oel Moed, when it says Oel Moed, it doesn't mean that it's really Oel Moed. He said, Mar Amar b'mesudar, when we, there was really no argument. When we say that if the Mishkan is taken down, and you're transporting the Shulchan, the Lechem HaPanim are disqualified according to one. The Lechem HaPanim are not disqualified according to the other. It's not an argument. The one who says it's not disqualified has been Mesudar. When the Lechem HaPanim are still on the table, when they're still on the table, it's not considered Yotze. It's not considered that it exited. Umar Amar B'Mesulak. The one who says that the Lechem HaPanim are disqualified are when they are off the table. When they are off the table, then they are disqualified according to everyone. The low plegian, there's really no argument.
So anyhow, they had to make this every week, right? Rabbi, the bread and also...
Yes, every Thursday they would make the bread, but they would put it onto the table on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. They didn't really ask the question. It's still the same issue. It happened to be if there was an Ohel Moed or if it's not an Ohel Moed. Meaning...
No, it's not Ohel Moed.
But nonetheless, because it's on a table...
That itself, right. On the table, though, is different. On the table, it's still in its place. What's Yotze? It left its place. It's still on its table. The Ohel Moed around it was removed, but it's still in its place. It's still in a holy vessel.
That bread strictly was eaten by the
Kohanim, yeah.
Right?
Six loaves by the two shifts of Kohanim and the other six loaves by the Kohen Gadol.
But they had to finish all the bread, right?
Yeah.
What I don't understand, Aaron had two sons.
Yeah.
Passed away, two alive.
Right.
How did they eat?
Every well, there's not so much bread, right? Each bread is an isaron.
Is like
5 pounds.
5 pounds. They have to eat it like one day.
Yeah, one day. Three people in one day have to eat 60 pounds of flour.
That's why they were Kohen Gadol.
So their kids too,
though. Other kids over time, but it's been saying that initially it's just three, at Aaron, Elazar, and Yisrael.
They had families and stuff. They got grandchildren. Okay, I had 3-4 kids. I don't know.
Right. Over well, Moshe Rabbeinu could also eat. Yeah, he had the status of Kohen Gadol.
And after that, all the korbanot that have been brought.
And they have to eat all the korbanos. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking
about
a lot of bread and meat.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Come in.
The wives are not included. No, no, no. The family.
It worked.
Amar Abaye. Abaye said, going back to this braisa that says that Kadshim get disqualified with Yotze once the Mishkan is taken down. Shmamino Yeshiluk Masos Balayla. You see that if the cloud would pick up and start moving during the night, they would travel during the night. They wouldn't wait till the morning. If you're going to say that they're not going to move during the night, so then when do they actually lift up the curtains and take down the Mishkan Letzaf in the morning? Then why are you saying that things are disqualified because they've gone out of the Azara? Typically, they become disqualified because they've been out for too long. They haven't been consumed during the night. They become Nosar. So the Gemara says, okay, Shita, this is obvious. Lalechas Yom V'Laylaksiv. The verse says to travel by day and by night. So, of course, they traveled at night too. The Gemara says, no, Ma'udatim would have thought to say, Hanimi Le'echad Akar B'Yamama. Maybe they would, if they set off by day, they would continue traveling during the night. I would have thought that if they didn't set off by day during the night, they would not set off and begin their travels. Kamashman, that's what Abaye is saying, that he's proving from this discussion that they would sometimes set off and start their travels during the night. Okay. Arminia, let me ask you another question. We learned Huglu Aparoches, once all the curtains were rolled up and the Mishkan's being taken apart. Hutra Zavan Mitzaron Likanis Lisham. The Zavan and Mitzaron are allowed to enter there. And we said in the Brisa that Zavan and Mitzaron are not allowed to enter. I'm Ravashi answered Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas amongst the Tanoim, between Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learned in a Brisa. And the Gemara is going to say, we're talking about a case of Karban Pesach, when most of the people are Tameh. So we know that when most of the people are Tameh, then you can still bring the Karban Pesach, but you couldn't, as a Zav or a Metzora, walk into the Beis HaMikdash when most of the people are Tameh. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Rebbe Lezer says, Yacho. So Rebbe Lezer says that when the Tmei Mace are allowed to walk into the Azara, then Zavan and Mitzaron are also allowed in. That when most of the nation are Tamei Mace, then Zavan and Mitzaron also can come in too. Once Tumah's been allowed in, other Tumah's will also be allowed in. So if he says that about Tamei Mace, so then he's going to say here also, once they roll up the paroches, then the Tamei Mace is allowed to walk in. And since the Tamei Mace is allowed to walk in to the Machna Leviya, he would hold, since he holds a Tamei Mace can be, we all hold that a Tamei Mace can be in a Machna Leviya, and he holds that wherever a Tamei Mace can be, a Zav and Mitzora can be, so he would hold that a Zav and Mitzora could also come in. Right. Therefore, as Reb Lezer says, Yachol Dach Guzav and Mitzora v'nichnasu la'azar b'pesach haba b'tumah. Maybe you would say that when Zavan and Mitzoron push their way into an Azara on Pesach, which is being brought in a state of Tumah, Yachu Yuchayav, maybe they'd be Chayav, Tamalom, that's what it says, Vishalchum and Amachaneh, they should send from the camp, Kol Tzeruah v'chol Zav v'chol Tamil HaNefesh, any Tzeruah and Zavan, any Tamei Mace, B'shal she Tamei Mace and Mishtalchum, when Tamei Mace are sent out, Zavan and Mitzoron Mishtalchum, that's when the Zavan and Mitzoron are sent out. Ain't Tmei Mesim Mishtalch when the Tmei Mesim are not sent out in Zavan and Mitzorayin Mishtalch, and then the Zavan and Mitzorayin are also not sent out. So as Rashi explains, the Pesach Abba Betuma, Kigon Shirov Tzibur Tmeim, let's say most of the community would be Tamei, Kidamar, as the Gemara says in Pesachim. Ish Nitchel Pesach Sheni, if one person is Tamei, he's pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Velo Tzibur, but if the community is Tamei, then they're not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. They bring it on Pesach Rishon. But Tumas Meis, Futrulahem, Tumas Meis becomes permitted to them. Kiddush Livs, it says Tamei Nefesh. Avalo Ziva Vitzoras. But Zavan Tzoras does not become permitted when they're Tamei. However, Rebbe Lezer, the Mekel Hassam, Rebbe Lezer over there is Mekel. The same way he's mekel over there, mekel hacha, he's also lenient here. Here, once you take down the Mishkan, the Tmei Meis are not sent out. The Tmei Meis no asher lebazar bulvat. A Tmei Meis is only not allowed to be in the Azara itself. He could be in Machna Levia. Ach, she can be on Harabais. Ach, of Kishahugla Parochas, now that the Parochas is rolled up, now there's no status of Azara anywhere that the Tamimes has to be sent out of it. The Tamimes Mutulikan is Machna Levia. Tamimes can be in Machna Levia. The Chsiv, it says, Vayikach Moshe's Atmos Yosef Yimob in Machitzasa. Moshe Rabbeinu in the camp of the Levium carried with him the bones of Yosef. Kida Amr Psachim, as the Gemara says in Psachim. You also see from here that the bones of Yosef create Tumma. And not like some who want to say that the bones of Tzadikim don't create Tumma. So long as he doesn't go into the Azara with the bones. It's a high new Azara. That's the Azara. Baharabanan. This is the Rabbanan. Zamru, who say, Afbisha Tmei Mesim Ein Mishtalchim. Even when Tmei Mesim are allowed in, Zavim Mitzaran Mishtalchim. The Zavim Mitzaran are not allowed in. So that can resolve the two brises. So the one brisa that said that once the Azara, once it's all taken down, all the Zavim Mitzaran can go there. That's like the view of Rebbe Lezer, that once the Azara is taken down, so now Tmei Mason can be there, Tmei Mason can be there, Zavon and Mitzorayim can be there. But the other Brice that said that Zavon and Mitzorayim could not be there, that's the view of the Rabbanan. Even if Tmei Mason can be somewhere, that doesn't mean that Zavon and Mitzorayim can be there. And therefore, when the Mishkan is taken down, the Zavon and Mitzorayim are still not allowed to be in the space where the Mishkan was.
So Rabbi, those guys, they carried the Yosef's bones.
Yeah.
They were in charge. They were always Tameh.
They became Tameh, exactly. Okay, some more laws about the Lechem HaPanim. Achas Shtei Lechem, both the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, Achas Lechem HaPanim, and the bread of the Lechem HaPanim, Lishasan V'arichasan Bachutz. They get kneaded, they get prepared as a loaf outside of the Azara. V'afiyasan B'fnim, but they get baked inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the baking does not take place on Shabbos, it takes place before. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol ma'aseyim bifnim. Everything for them was done in the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says, La'olam evi ragi lomar. Shtei alechem lechem apanim ksheres ba'azara o ksheres b'peis pagi. So Rabbi Shimon says, you should always realize that the Shtei Alechem and Lechem HaPanim would be kosher to be made in the Beis HaMikdash, but they'd be kosher to be made outside the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Pagi was a bakery, as we said. It was even outside the wall of Yerushalayim. It could be made anywhere. Not outside of Yerushalayim, outside the wall of the Har HaBayis, anywhere in Yerushalayim. So now the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, this Mishnah itself is a contradiction. Amarati, you said, Lishasam Arichasam Bachutz, that they could be kneaded and they could be prepared as loaves outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So now this addresses Roger's question. Roger asked, are the molds holy? So one second, if they're kneading the dough and then putting it into a mold outside the Beis HaMikdash, it can't be holy. Because if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, we have this whole problem of Yotze. It was taken out.
Why can't they knead it and put it inside?
No, because they make the shape of the loaf. So the shape of the loaf is to be in the mold. So one second, Amrit, you said Lishasan, they're kneading Varichas and preparing the loaves as Bachutz is outside. Amamidas Yavish Lonis Kachas. That means that the various measuring utensils for dry are not holy, right? Because to make a loaf, they have to measure an Isar and a flour. That means that the measuring cup of the Isarin is not holy, because if it'd be holy, it would be disqualified as Yotze, as being outside. But then, Afiyasan Bifnim, you say you're baking them inside. Alma, that means midas yavish niskacha. That means that the dry measuring cups are holy for the baking. So my Rabba said, Hikshadam kasha. This is a question. A tough man asked this question. Shukasha kabarzel. It's hard. It's tough as iron. Umanu Rabshashas. This is Rabshashas. He's the one who asked this difficult question. Says the Gemara, my kasha. What's the big question? Maybe the measuring cup of an Isarin is not holy. And Tanur Mekadesh. But the utensil of the oven, that is holy. So the oven is holy, but the measuring cup's not holy. So the measuring cup, when they make the dough, it's not holy yet. Then when they put this dough into an oven, The oven is holy, so that's what makes it holy.
Where were they measuring that scenario? They measured the basement dish with the.
They don't need to measure anymore. Now it already was measured.
What I'm saying, if they in that scenario, they would measure in the basement dish, or they would measure outside the basement.
No, they measured outside the basement.
Outside, I think.
No. Measured would be outside the basement mikdash, and then it would be put into an oven, which is holy in the basement mikdash.
Measuring cup we learned about.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, still. Yeah, we spoke about that.
So you're saying maybe you don't really need that measuring cup.
You don't need that one. You could use a different one, maybe, or maybe that one wasn't even holy. Eli Kash is going to say, okay, if there's a question, this is the question. Ha Kasha. It said in the Mishnah that they are baked inside the Beis HaMikdash. Amal Tanur Mekadesh. That means that the oven is holy and it makes it holy. Vein Dochos Es HaShabbos. But then you said that you don't overrule Shabbos to bake them. So that means when do you bake them? Before Shabbos. Okay, Thursday or Friday. 1 second. If Salubalina should be disqualified with the fact that it spent too much time outside of the Shulchan. It's only going on to the Shulchan Shabbos by day. So the night should have disqualified it because it's already a holy thing. Rava said, Hiksha Adam Kasha Shu Kasha Kabarzel. A question here. We've got a good question here from a tough question from a tough man. Umanu Rav Sheshes. You know who this is asking this question? It's Rav Sheshes asking this question. It's so hard. How do you understand the whole idea of Lechem Hapanim? It's baked in the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes holy, and you can't bake it on Shabbos. So then it should be possible by the time you get to Shabbos. Rav Ashi said back, "My kusha, why is it such a problem? Dilma, my bibifnim. What does it mean that it's baked inside? B'makom's reason. It's not actually baked in the Beis HaMikdash. It's baked in a place of the people of Beis HaMikdash, where you have a lot of Kohanim, you have Zrizin, you have passionate people, and they're careful not to do anything wrong." When it says Hadar Avashi Barusahi, this proposed answer of Ravashi that the bread is not really made holy by the baking because it's not baked in the Beis HaMikdash should go out, throw it out. It's not an answer. Because Manafshach. Because if you're saying that the baking needs passionate people who are not going to let it become chametz, Iafia Binan's reason, if for the baking you need it to be done by passionate people, though not done in the Beis HaMikdash, just done by Kohanim next to the Beis HaMikdash, then Misha Varicha Nami Binan's reason. So then the kneading and the preparing of the loaf, also where it could become chametz, should have to be done by passionate people. And if you say that wherever passionate people are working, that's called Beis HaMikdash, so then it should be that's also done in Beis HaMikdash. V'Lisha Varicha Lo Binan's reason, and if the kneading and the preparing doesn't need passionate people to make sure it's not considered, that doesn't become chametz. Afia nami lo binan's reason. So then the baking also shouldn't need to be done by the passionate people who make sure it doesn't become chametz. El Ravashi Barusi. So it must be that this answer of Ravashi belongs outside. It's wrong. It belongs outside. Okay.
So I don't understand, Rabbi. They did the Shech and they did the Korbanot. They did all of it on Shabbat and Amen Yom Kippur and Beit HaMikdash.
Yes.
All of a sudden, baking is not allowed.
Baking the bread, not. No, because the baking is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is putting the bread on the shulchan. So this is what's called Hechsher Mitzvah, preparation for a mitzvah. Preparation for a mitzvah won't overrule Shabbos. The mitzvah itself overrules Shabbos. The mitzvah of the Karban is the Shechter. Okay. There's a difference there.
So what is the, what Mekadeshet HaLechem itself? A shulchan?
That's what we saw later. Yeah, the shulchan.
We're unresolved, Rabbi. Right? No answer.
Yes. What's that?
It's unresolved.
No, the table. I think what Izzy says. The table makes it holy, not the oven. The table is what makes it holy. Reb Yudah says, "Kol maaseh en bifnim." Reb Yudah says that all of the preparations, everything was done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Bavo Bar Kahana, whereas Reb Shimon says, it doesn't have to be done inside. It can be done outside too. So Amar Rabbeinu Shnei Mikrayach Darshu. They're all both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are darshing the same pasuk. It's a pasuk in Shmuel. The pasuk says, "V'hu derechol af ki ayom yikdash b'kli." So David finds the Kohanim when he's running away from Shaul. And it's Erev Shabbos, and they're baking Lechem HaPanim, and David gets to eat it because he's starving, he's in danger, he has bulmus. So the verse describes the Lechem HaPanim, V'uderechol af ki ayom yikdash b'kli. So Yudah Savar, b'chol ashkechinu deka'afule. David is meeting them on a weekday, on a Friday, when they're baking. Amaluhu, and David is telling them, Derechol Kafisu. Are you baking it during the week? Afki Ayom Yikdash Pekli. 1 second, but then today it's going to become holy in a vessel. If Sole Belina, it's going to be disqualified. So therefore he's saying it should be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Sover, B'Shabbos Ashkechinu Dekafu. He met them on Shabbos when they're baking. Amar Lahu, and he's telling them, Lo Derecho, but Yisulim Evdei. Isn't it during the week that you have to make it? Midi Tanu Mekadesh. Is it during the week you have to do it? You don't have to do it during the week, because is it the oven that's going to make it holy? Is the oven that's going to make it holy? Shulchanu D'Mekadesh. This is what Izzy just pointed out. It's the table that makes it holy. And therefore, why are you so nervous that you have to bake it today on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Mimatzis Amrit, can you say D'Vashas Afi Ashkechinu, that David met them when they were baking the breads? But the verse says, V'yitin la kohen kodesh, kilo hayasham lechem kim lechem apanim, hamusarim lifnei Hashem. The kohen gave to David the holy bread, because there was nothing but the holy bread. So, therefore, if it's during the week, they could have baked other things. What is he saying to them when he's saying the way of the week? This is what he's saying to them. Is there no bread other than the bread at lechem apanim? Amaluhu, when we buy a hide that came to Nafa claiming Me'ila Derecholhu. Certainly, once it's going to be removed from the table, the Kohanim are going to be able to eat it. So, this which was already removed doesn't have a law of Me'ila. So, it's Derechol. Alafilu Hayach Nami, Dayomi Kaddish Bekli. Even this other bread, which is today going to be made holy in the vessel, being put onto the table. Havule, you can give to David to eat. Alechol, you can eat it because Masukanhu, because he is in danger. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, B'Gemara Pligi. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they are arguing with traditions. Is it that the oven makes it holy or not? Tekanami, we can also derive that to Ketani, because it says, Rabbi Shimon, Omer LeOlam Aviragi Lomer Shtei Lechem VeLechem Apanim Sheres Bazar Sheres Abeis Pagi. You should always be used to say that the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim are kosher, whether in the Azara or outside. So Shmamina, you should be regular to say that he had a tradition which was telling him this point, and that's why he says, Le'olam Adiragi Olomar. Okay, we'll continue Bezrat Hashem tomorrow in Chavivah.